The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from
you. Gorgeous Passion on Radio Gorgeous.
I'm not a great follower of trends, but I'm very aware of trying at least to look stylish. And I'm so happy because hats are back. Helena Sheffield has written a go-to manual called The Art of Wearing Hats, and I'm in Soho at the stupendous hat shop called Atelier Millinery. They will sort you out if you need a hat or would like one made. But firstly, I would like to introduce Helena Sheffield, the author of The Art of Wearing Hats, onto Radio Gorgeous. Hi, Helena. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. So first of all, just a very brief history. When did we start wearing hats?
Well, one of the earliest images that we have of wearing hats is from 3000 BC. I have a feeling that was more to do with keeping people's head warm than actually fashion choices. But much, much later, in around the 1500s, a law was passed by Queen Elizabeth that told commoners that on a Sunday, anyone over the age of six had to start wearing a hat. That law was revoked about 12 years later, possibly because it was just a bit ridiculous. But from that point on, hat wearing became much more of a choice that people made.
Yeah, do you think that hats, I mean, they first started being practical, but then they turned into a social thing, didn't they? About status, really.
Yeah. So the French were very famous for wearing a lot of hats. Actually, around the French Revolution, it was really interesting that they stopped wearing hats because hats were seen as this kind of status symbol, and status was suddenly not popular. It was kind of dangerous to look like you were from a higher up family, so people stopped wearing hats for a short amount of time. But it has always been associated with well-to-do people, well-dressed people, especially more often now that it was much more common for everyone, and even in the 20th century. But you do have that saying, if you want to get ahead, get a hat.
So that's what we're doing here today. Yeah. So very cleverly, you divide it up into chapters, which are kind of practical. As I say, it's more of a manual. And first of all, it's hats to wear kind of every day.
Yes.
And you've got things like the trilby, the bowler, the cloche, the boater and the wide hat, to name a few. What should we try on? We're in this fantastic hat shop and it's beautiful. What do you think I should have a go at trying on?
My favourite is the cloche. It's very 20s.
Well, you look quite 20s. I've just got to say, you've got Louise Brooks look.
That's
you know.
Exactly what I was going
yeah.
for. Yeah, yeah.
a very, very dark bob.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Very dark.
Okay, well, you've got to try it on then.
I'll
sorry.
Try it
yeah.
on. I really love this one. It's teal and it is a fitted cloche. It's just got a swathe of fitted teal felt. It's just really simple.
It is felt, isn't it? Is it all right if Helena tries it on then?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Now, there's something quite shocking about cloches that I read today, actually, that they were seen as quite a sexual hat, weren't they?
Yeah.
Put it on and let's see how sexy you look.
Am I wearing this the right way around?
Yeah.
This is good, because I'm never sure. So I think in the Victorian era, women's necks were seen to be very erotic. So that's why they covered all these bonnets, had frills around the back of them so that you couldn't see that. And then obviously in the 20s, the cloche really elongates your neck.
And you can see your neck.
And you can really see it, especially with the short haircut that all women
had. Yeah, turn around, let's see.
So I have that.
Yes, she's got a beautiful long neck. Yeah.
So I think potentially it was done to shock. It fitted their hairstyle and it was suddenly this exposed amount of skin at the back of
What's amazing is you have put the hat on and suddenly your features come alive.
Oh, that's really interesting. I think
I can really see your eyes look bigger, your mouth looks bigger.
Yeah.
You know, it's something about it.
I mean, it's probably because it's such a beautifully designed hat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think especially the cloche, because it makes your head look much more sleek.
Now, I want to talk about that because you're really good in the book, because you talk about face shapes and what would suit. Now, choose one for me that you think would suit me, okay?
Okay.
All right, so this is an everyday hat.
An everyday hat. I'm just
How about a trilby or a military hat or a pork pie? So trilby can be worn by a man or a woman?
Definitely can
okay.
be, yeah.
Okay, do you want to put it on my head?
Some people prefer to wear it on the back of their head. Justin Timberlake does that.
Yeah, I think of the guy that sings Happy, Happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, there was a man called Mr. Trilby. I find that so exciting. Yeah. Tell us who he was.
Well, there was a character in one of Georges du Maurier's novels, and their surname was Trilby, and there was a stage production made of that, and the character wore this new felt hat that no one had seen before, and a lot of people really were a fan of this character, so adopted the name Trilby to name the hat, and it became quite a trend, and
it's
I think that's amazing.
It's so cool that a writer had a character, and then it was created, and then it's evolved, and but that's really quite recent in a funny way, isn't it?
I know.
That's like, would that be 20s or 30s?
I think the book was published in the late 1800s.
Okay.
The play came out shortly after that, and the Trilby really picked up in the 20th century. So
yes, because I really think of it as sort of Frank Sinatra,
those
sort of people.
Yeah, I often think of sort of Humphrey Bogart, and he had the big trench coats and a big Trilby, or maybe a fedora.
What's the difference between a fedora and a Trilby? That's my question.
Very contentious, I think, because when you if you just Google either of them, a lot of the time the stuff you come up with look exactly the same. So
is there a fedora here?
So I would call one of these more a fedora.
I think you should try that on now.
Yes, I'll try.
Yeah, let's get the fedora on. Sounds Spaniol to me, the name.
Does that? So that is also based from a book character.
Another one?
Yeah. I, off the top of my head, can't remember the name of the character, but it was a Russian princess whose surname was Fedora. And
fabulous.
It got inspired. It inspired the readers.
That's wonderful. You've got a kind of 50s style skirt on.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, because that's quite flared, and then this is quite flared.
I like the dramatic wide brim hat.
Yeah. It's really dramatic.
Yeah. I really enjoy fedoras just because I find them really easy to wear.
That's got a very wide brim as a fedora. Yeah.
So I've got a really narrow head.
You found out.
Yeah.
I didn't know that before you started doing the hat.
I know. So for a long time, I wouldn't wear wide brims because I thought I just looked a bit stupid in them. But actually, I think it's partly confidence, which I do say a lot in the book, but it is partly just finding the right kind of hat for you and the right outfit, because if you balance the wide brim of the hat with something that flows with it as well, that can just create the right kind of shape.
Yeah, so why are people so reluctant to wear hats? When I say to people who wear a hat, they go, oh, but I get hat hair, or oh, it'll blow off, or oh, people will look at me. I mean,
I know, yeah. A lot of people are very reluctant. Hat hair is the main thing I hear, or oh, nothing suits me. And I don't think that's true. I think it's just that they haven't found the hat that suits them. But a lot of it is confidence.
So how do we get hat confidence?
Well, I think you just have to start with one small hat. So I started with berets when I was about 16.
Yeah, berets are in the next section, actually, which I was going to talk about, which was hats to wear in the wild.
Ah.
So let's go to a beret now.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
Is there any berets here?
I love that. That reminds me of Bobby in The Railway Children.
Yes.
She has
Daddy!
It's my daddy.
Helen is trying on the Bobby one, and it really looks cute on her because it's got a bobble on the back.
It's
and it's kind of bigger than other ones. It's kind of got a bit of bulk to it, hasn't it? Yeah.
So because I've got short hair, I like to tuck my hair under the beret because it just makes it look a bit neater.
You look very cute, actually. Now, how would you put it on me? This goes with my lippy, actually. So beret, it must be French.
When people think of berets, they think of a French man on a bicycle with a string of onions around his neck and a beret. But I find them the easiest hat to wear because, for example, yours has just been put on and it looks fantastic.
Thank you very much. It's got a beautiful black jewel on it. That helps.
Yeah.
And it's dark pink, my favourite colour.
I think you can wear them in so many ways. You can wear them angled like the way you have it now. I often wear mine towards the back of my head because that's the way I feel most comfortable in them. But
yours looks very secure, actually.
Yeah, it feels. That's the other good thing about berets. They fit most head sizes because they're just a soft piece of material.
So you were saying they're a good thing to start off with. So
yeah.
So they are French. Do you know anything about the history, Helena?
They were invented many years ago.
Are they for workers? Are they for maybe they're to keep hair out of the way, you know, and warm. You know, they are really practical.
Yeah, it's a practical kind of hat. The felt was invented centuries and centuries ago by Saint Clement, who is now the patron saint of milliners.
Hope there's an idol in here for it to worship.
Berets became very, very well used and very versatile in France, and that's perhaps why they've become so synonymous with the French. But they are the most widely available hat at the moment now. You can get them in any colour, shops anywhere. Yeah.
My weekday fix, darling, it has to be Radio Gorgeous. I want to say, why don't men wear them in England?
I wish they did. Mm, they don't wear many hats, do they? Hats have obviously fallen out of fashion of late.
But I see men are into trilbies, aren't they? And fedoras.
Yeah, you see men occasionally.
Military hats.
Yeah, I think because berets are just this soft little hat on the top of their head, maybe they think it looks too quaint.
I think they're wrong. I think men should get the berets out.
I mean, you see a lot of military berets, obviously.
That's
so you
true.
See soldiers in berets. Yeah. But and that's certainly not feminine.
No. But and they'd never think of that if they're wearing it in the army, would they?
No, not at all. Yeah. They just do it. So although that type of beret is slightly more structured, so maybe it's something to do with...
Yes, it's in an angle, isn't it? And it's got a little bit of leather around it.
Yeah, maybe the leather
and,
helps.
And maybe a little insignia.
Yes, yeah.
Now, what I want to go on to is... We normally wear hats because we're going somewhere glamorous, aren't we? We're going to a wedding, we're going to the palace is one of your chapters.
Hats to wear at the palace.
Okay, so do we have to wear a hat if we meet the Queen?
No, you don't. I have been to the palace.
Woo!
That's where the inspiration came from, and that's how I know. You don't have to wear a hat. They advise you either wear... you wear something in your hair, so that can be a fascinator, and it can be a hatinator or a hat.
I saw that name, hatinator. I want to know what one is, please.
Hatinators are the kind of big hat slash fascinators you see. It's hard to explain without using my hands, but they are a very big piece of hat headwear that you have attached to a hairband. So a proper hat would sit on top of your head, but a hatinator will have a hairband or potentially a piece of elastic that fixes it onto your head because it's a bit more precarious.
Okay.
So that's the difference.
Brilliant. Now, I think we should get into some glamorous hats now. I think I've got a date at the palace like you, and I've got to wear something really big.
Yes.
And a statement hat. Could someone supply me one, please? Oh, yes. Can you describe it, Eleanor?
Yes. Yeah, so this is... sort of dusky lavender, I would say. It's made of cinnamon and it's got a beautiful flower arrangement on the side of it. With
so
a
these
bow.
Are handmade, aren't they? Kind of pulled, they kind of, you know. How does the straw work? Do you know how to do it?
I do not know about actually making hats, but I know that this material, cinnamon, is this kind of...
I just feel... I feel like Joan Crawford... in a 40s forties, early 50s film. I feel really good in this.
Yeah.
And hats just bring out the features. So my eyes look bigger again, don't they? My lips look bigger. And it raises up the cheekbones. I mean, I just don't know why people don't wear them more often.
I know, and it's sitting at such a great angle on your head. And I think that the colour of the hat is bringing out your eyes, the colour of your eyes. When it's a well-chosen hat, it can do a lot for you.
Okay, let's get a hat for the palace for Helena. Which one should she wear, do you think? That's a bit of a hatinator, isn't it?
This is a hatinator because it's... Oh, this is so beautiful. It's sitting... it's attached to a hairband. So it sort of slopes sort of diagonally across my face and it's very much a statement. Whereas the hat you're wearing is obviously sitting on the top of your head. Some people prefer hats just because it feels more natural, because it's you don't have to think about it. It's on your head. Hatinators, you can be aware that it's very high and it's sitting very high above my head.
But you're long and tall and it really makes you look even longer and taller. Why not?
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. But I suppose if you're not a hat wearer and you're looking for a hat that you need to, like a big statement hat, maybe going for something that will sit on your head rather than a big... ornamental towering piece would be more comfortable for you.
No, it's absolutely fabulous. So please just tell us how we can get people to wear more hats. I know they've got to buy your book for advice.
Well, but that is the first thing, obviously. But I think I get lots of comments from people, even just strangers in the street, just because I'm wearing hats. And so I think if you can just find one hat to start with and start wearing it, it becomes a conversation. It becomes an icebreaker a lot of the time. And if you are wearing, the more you talk about it, the more you want to wear more, and the more other people are noticing it, and they're more likely to get interested in hats. And it is just that growing awareness of growing your own confidence and growing other people's confidence.
And what's been the response to your book? I'm dying to
know. it's been good. It's very exciting. It's in a lot of museums, which has been great.
Fashion museums,
National Portrait Gallery, the Tate. It's very exciting. So I've really enjoyed seeing it in alternative places like that, because
that means it's a proper fashion book.
Well, hopefully. I do often find it strange to walk into a Waterstones shop and see in the fashion section that that's my book. Didn't expect that. But
so why
it's been
did
a really
you write
positive.
It?
Well, I have over 50 hats now, and so I work for the publisher, and it actually came about as my boss sort of suggested this on a whim, and he was like, "Oh, you've got a lot of hats. Do you think you could write a book about hats?" And we sort of chatted about the kind of thing we might do if we do a book about hats, and then he actually came back the next day and said, "I think we've got something here. Do you want to come up with like a concept and a proposal, and we can pitch it to the publishers?" So I did. And I worked in sales at the time, so I had a good knowledge of, you know, what kind of shop it should be in, if it was going to be this kind of gift book hat.
You were doing the marketing in the back of your mind.
I was doing the marketing, and yeah, I was just coming up with the full plan. And so it came about very fortunately because I worked there, but I'm so pleased that it has, and so proud of it, because it's just, I kind of accumulated all this knowledge that I wasn't doing anything with, and it's managed to form into a book.
The Art of Wearing Hats. It's so lovely to meet you, and thank you so much for coming into Radio Gorgeous. But don't go away, listener, because we're now going to talk to the milliner, and your name is
Tina Giuntini.
RadioGorgeous.com. So welcome very much to Radio Gorgeous. We're at the shop that you work in Soho. It's called Atelier. And what does a milliner do apart from make hats? I know that sounds obvious.
There's a lot involved in making a hat. So obviously one would start with the customer and find out what the customer is looking for, try to advise them what will suit them best, let alone their outfit and the occasion. But once that portion is over, we then start the work. And the work, pretty much no matter what kind of material the hat is made out of, starts with us blocking. And we use that term because we use wood that's shaped into the style of the hat. And we call them blocks because they look like blocks of wood. And then we block the material over that to create the shape. We stiffen it, we then remove it, we cut it down, we wire it, we put all other kinds of support measures into the hat, and then we decorate it.
So is it like kind of making a sculpture, it sounds?
In many ways it is. It is sculpture, and often you can meet some milliners who were sculptors. And we even have a current milliner who for many years in the city worked and has left and is now a full-fledged artist. And she actually has taken her millinery and moved on to create sculpture.
Fabulous. So I'd come in here, I'd say, look, I bought a dress, can't find anything to go with it. I'm going to see the Queen. Where would you go from there then? Would you look at my face shape, the hat, as you said?
Yes. Often what I will do is also the hairstyle. Oh. And I also kind of gauge whether people feel comfortable in hats or not, because as pointed out, the hatinator is the perfect thing for the lady who feels she needs something statement-wise but isn't comfortable in a hat. And I don't know why it is the case, because to me it's just as much of a hat as the piece that you have on. It's just more modern, you might say. But once you've gauged that with them, you can then go, you can proceed forward.
So can you tell me what sort of hats you make and the styles here?
Well, here we kind of make, you might say, middle ground. We don't really do anything that's over the top, very fashion forward, design forward. Mm-hmm. It's just not our customer. We would like to make them, but you have to please the bigger crowd. And that's what we do here. So we make a lot of Hattonators. It is our number one seller.
How interesting.
Number one. And I would say it's then followed by what we call a smarty, which in many ways is a small beret, but a blocked one, not like the soft ones.
Can you show
us
one now?
So here's one right here.
Oh, I love these. To me, these look terribly kind of 40s or 50s.
Yes, yeah. They are in many ways.
Can I try one?
Yes.
Oops, sorry, I don't want to.
I'll give that to you.
So again, this is for someone that's not terribly confident about wearing a hat.
So what but I would got, actually yeah. do is, let's start with the blues because of your outfit. So this is going to traditionally be on elastic. It's just easier. It's too big for a comb. It doesn't always sit because it's a little deeper. It doesn't sit so well on a headband. It can be done, but we don't recommend it. Mm-hmm. So here we go.
So this might be someone that's going to an event, maybe in the winter because it's felt, so a bit more wintry.
You can get them in straw.
Oh, you can.
And
oh my God, this is really pretty. It's like a tiny little pillbox on the side of my head with blue, with, I think, has it got a kind of a ribbon on? I'm trying to see in the mirror. Wow, so you literally, you're styling people, aren't you, really?
Yes, because sometimes, well, often we get many people in here who don't wear hats. So I think that's the basis of their uncomfortable attitude towards hats, their fear towards hats. So we have to help style them and often have to kind of advise them down the road of what they should be getting.
Fantastic. So I've heard that you do courses. Can you tell me about them here?
Yes. So you can come here. You can take a quick, short class, 4 hours, and you can make a fascinator or a cocktail hat.
Now, take away with you?
Take away that day. But that's something easy. You're coming in, you're taking elements that already exist. So you're not learning the real basis of millinery. You're learning design. You're learning positioning, color coordination. It's the basic side of it, but you get to walk away with a hat. You could come and then create more hats for yourself at a later point, but then you can come back. You can do a 7-hour class where we work you very hard, and you can make a cloche. That the cloche has been chosen because it's very easy. It's an easy hat to make. There isn't a lot going on if you do a simple cloche. Not like the one that was tried on earlier with all the pinning and stitching and pleating going on. But you can do it, and it gives you then the method of blocking. And you can do that in felt or straw, depending on the course. Now, you can then come for a weekend course. We have two. That's 2 days, 7 hours a day. And you can learn basic millinery. And what we're really doing is teaching you everything, the stitching, the wire, the blocking, so that you have a foundation that you can take away.
Would I need to be able to sew?
Not if you came to any of the beginner ones, no.
Wow, that's so interesting, because I find a lot of people now can't sew. It's very, I mean, I was taught at school, but I think it's been cut out of now, which is a bit sad. So you can come here just with ideas, with enthusiasm, and try things.
Yes.
And go away with a product.
Yes, you will go home with the finished product. If the course is designed so that you won't have a finished product, we make that very clear in the description. But I would say everything that we do here, you're leaving with a finished product.
And what is special about hats?
For me, they are a personality statement. To put a hat on, you are rarely going to run into, I mean rarely, I don't think it's ever happened to me, run into somebody wearing the same hat. It will happen with shoes. It will happen with a dress. It will happen with a coat. But with a hat, it's highly unlikely. And that is such an indicator of your personality. I see people walking the streets with a hat on, and I can just see who they are by their hat. It's great.
Fantastic. Thank you both coming on to Radio Gorgeous. So The Art of Wearing Hats by Helena Sheffield is published by HarperCollins. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we tried on various fabulous hats at Atelier Millinery in Soho W1. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for stopping by. We are at www.ateliermillinery.com.
Okay, and your book is available, as we know, from superior bookshops and from museums and fashion places.
It certainly is. Most Waterstone stores, if you have a look in the fashion section, you will, fingers crossed, find it.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Darling, I only listen to Radio Gorgeous.
Oh, this is a Radio Gorgeous production for Radio Gorgeous 2017. For more information, go to radiogorgeous.com.
No, no, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams, the way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on the bumpy road to love. Still I'll always, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, the way we dance till three, the way you've changed my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me.
Bamba do 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 do, the way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams, the way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on the bumpy road to love. Still I always, always keep the memory of, oh, yes, the way you hold your knife, the way we dance till three, the way you change my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me. Swing it, boys.
Again, dearie, please.
No, they can't take down.